Good to see y'all here this evening. Good to see you, Sister Mary. Appreciate you just coming in, amen. And so we're excited about that as well. Amen. If you have your Bibles, turn to 1 Timothy chapter 3. And again, we'll stand to our feet in honor of God's Word. We begin reading in verse 15 and 16. We started a message this morning called In 2020, Is Missions Essential? Missions Essential. It is when the church is real. And we found out that it was real. But let's read here verse 15 and verse 16, and we'll continue on the message that we have started this morning. But if I tarry long, that thou mayest know how thou oughtest to behave thyself in the house of God, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and ground of the truth. Without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh, justified in the spirit, seen of angels, preached unto the Gentiles, believed on in the world, received up into glory. Father, we come to you in the name of Jesus tonight. I humbly come to you, submitting my heart to you. God, knowing that I am not capable, Lord, or even deserve, dear God, to be here behind this pulpit. Unworthy tonight, dear God, am I. And yet, Lord, tonight, Father, because of the grace of God and the blood of the Lamb, Lord, that we can preach the Word of God and we can preach it with confidence and boldness, knowing that it's true, knowing today, dear God, that the Word of God, Lord, is like a hammer. It is like a sword, like a tonight, like a fire. And so tonight, God, I pray that you'd work in our hearts and whatever is needed tonight. Lord, to be shaken up, to be cut, or even to be burned tonight. We ask you, Lord, to lead and guide this service. Move in the midst of our hearts. God, that our heart tonight would burn greater for missions than ever before. God, that we would desire. God, we would be determined and we would decide. Father, that I will be part of missions. I will be involved with missions. God, I will participate and partake of missions tonight. May it be our goal. May it be our aim tonight in Christ's name. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. 2021 is closer to the Lord's coming than ever. We find tonight that the signs and the times and the seasons in which we see the scripture that gives us some clear understanding and clear direction of where we are. Now, could the Lord come tonight? Yes, He could. Could the Lord come tomorrow? Yes, He might. Could He come next week? Yes, that's a possibility. But tonight, we're living right now. We're living right at this point, at this time. And so, with that being said, tonight, we know that the end of the world is coming. We know that the end of times are here. We know tonight that that all things as we know it is changing. We know that America is changing. We know the world is changing. We know that there has to come a time and a place when the Antichrist will be welcomed in. The Antichrist that will become will come forth and he will begin to rule and to reign. He'll come forth out on the scene after the rapture, and he'll bring forth this peace, which is not peace at all, for about 3 years or 3.5 years there with this world. He'll make a pact or a covenant with Israel. He'll break that covenant with Israel. And the Bible says the great tribulation shall begin. And so 7 years of tribulation will begin when the Antichrist will come forth on his white horse. And as he comes with his white horse, he'll have an arrow but no bow. And he will come to conquer. And we find that these scriptures are true and for real. And so we know that these are the case. We know that the times in which we live now are desperate times or difficult times. The Bible says in the last days shall be perilous times, which meaning dangerous and difficult. And so we're not exaggerating tonight. We're not saying that the world is a good place to be or the world is getting better tonight. We're not saying that at all. We're just saying where we are. But while we're here, we need to be participating in missions. We can't just say the Lord's coming and don't do nothing. We can't say the world is ugly, the world is dark, the world is wicked, the world is dangerous, and say, so be it. Tonight, the church has to get engaged. The church has got to get out from its sleepiness and got to get out from doing nothing and began in this avenue, this vision, this demand and command, the great commission of the Lord, and that is to go into this world and preach the gospel. That's the mission of the church. You know, a lot of people look at the church tonight and they say this. They say that the church is a dying institution. That's what they say about it. Can I say it's the church tonight that God is going to use to reach the world? Tonight, a lot of people look at the church and say, well, that's just an old-fashioned tradition. That's just what they've been doing for a long time. They just go to church, and they just go to church. But tonight, I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about a deeper mind. I'm talking about a spiritual truth tonight, that the church is just not what you see. The church is just not what you're in. The church is just not who we are. The church is a greater than all of that. Matter of fact, the church tonight is real. And without the church tonight, which one day is coming when the rapture comes and takes us up and moves us forward tonight, and we meet the Lord in the air tonight, this world is going to find out what it means to have no church. And you're going to find the restrainer is now removed, and you're going to find that the flesh of men are ugly and mean. You're going to find that the devil's going to run rapid. You're going to find that sorcery and evil spirits are going to take over. You're going to find that the Antichrist is going to rule and reign. You're going to find many dying by their heads being chopped off, and many finding themselves being martyred for the cause of Christ and the testimony of the Lord. It's going to be ugly when they find the wrath of the Lamb. They're going to know that the church means something. They're going to know the church has value. They're going to know the church has a reason and a purpose to be here. The church is real. And we preached on that this morning, but I want to say that how we know the church is real, because there in verse 15, the Bible says that the house of God, which is the church of the living God, can I say this morning or this evening, the church belongs to God. That's how we know the church is real. It belongs to God. It says the house of God. It says the church of the living God. Number two, we understand and know tonight that you can't separate Jesus from God. He says in John chapter 10 and verse 30, I and my Father are one. He says in 1 John chapter 5 verse 17, there are three that bear record in heaven, the Father, the Word, who is Jesus, and the Holy Ghost, and these three are one. You cannot separate tonight from God, who the church belongs to God, but Jesus Christ has built the church. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 16 and verse 18, I will build my church. So we know the church is real because Jesus built it. We know the church is real because God, it belongs to God. We know the church is real because the church is based upon the Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost tonight is called the Spirit of God in the Word of God. The Holy Ghost tonight is called Christ's Spirit. You can't separate the Spirit of God from Christ. You can't separate the Spirit of God from God. You can't separate God from the Holy Spirit. You can't separate Jesus from the Holy Ghost. And you can't separate Jesus from the Holy Spirit tonight. They're all of three. They're all of one. And friend, we know the church is real tonight, because the Holy Ghost of God is the base of it. We went through that. We're not going to go over it tonight, but just wanted to mention that. We also understand and know that the church is bound by the Word of God. That the Word of God tonight has the church in it. It says the church of the living God. And so that tells me tonight that there is a church, and the church is real because the Bible says so. We see tonight that it belongs to God. We see that Jesus built it tonight. We are bound by God's Word. God is bound by God's Word. Tonight, all that is true and all that is living tonight is bound by His Word. The church is real. And the sooner you know that the church is real, the sooner you get involved with missions. The sooner you'll see souls dying and going to hell. The sooner you'll see the vision and the mission of our Lord Jesus Christ, who came to seek and to save that which was lost. Who came, He loved the church and gave Himself for it, the Bible teaches us tonight. The Bible says, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world tonight. That's our heart.
That's our mind. That's our vision. That's our purpose. That's our reason tonight. Not to run around in Cadillacs. Not to buy beach homes and buy out there by the waterfronts tonight. Not to have a business and make tons of money. Not to have all this and that and the other. But the church tonight is one of a purpose and plan to reach the world for the gospel of joy of the Lord Jesus Christ tonight. And once you realize the church is real, you'll find missions in your heart. Amen? Missions May is coming up. I'm just trying to get a little ahead of it. So that when we get to Missions May, then we'll be able to come to the place and say, Lord, I'm like Isaiah. Here am I. Send me. Send me to Mexico. Send me to Canada. Send me to Russia. Send me, Lord, send me. Send me to America. Or you say, brother, God ain't called me to send me anywhere, but God has put in my heart to give. And I'm going to give on a weekly basis. It's called faith promise or grace giving. What do you want to call it tonight? And we call it an offering tonight. And as you would get ready and get planned and get prepared, all of those missionaries on that wall over there are supported by this church, not with our tithe, but besides our tithe, beyond our tithe. Our tithe don't give the missions today. The tithe belongs to the Lord. It just comes to the church. It takes care of the church. It provides for the church. It takes to make sure the church is well and well taken care of. And everything outside and above that is called an offering. That offering that's designated to missions tonight is given just to missions. That money that's designated on your little card that says missions, it will never go for a light bill in this church. It will never go to pay for one anything at all things of the church tonight. Every penny in missions goes to missions. And tonight that's how it operates. But in order for you to be partaker of that, in order for you to be one who is excited about that, you just got to know the church is real. That the church tonight is bound by the Word. Can I say number two tonight, and that's where we ended this morning. Not only is the church real, but the church is radical. I know radical tonight's an offensive word. I know tonight that people don't like that word radical. It just seems to turn people the wrong way. But I hope by the time I get done with the message tonight, you can say with me when you walk out and say, brother, the church is not only real, but the church is radical. And then you are to be kind of excited that you're part of a radical church. Amen? And so I know I am. I've been here for quite a long time, part of this radical church and amongst these radical people and thinking about this radical vision and just being around this radical family, amen? And just being radical, it kind of makes me excited. But anyway, tonight, the church is radical. So what does that mean? How does this church, or how does the church, the true living church, the Bible calls it the church of the living God. How is it radical? Well, it says it right here in that verse 15. It says, the pillar and ground of the truth. The pillar and ground of the truth. Tonight, you cannot get truth anywhere else but the church. You'll not find truth in anybody else but Christ. You'll not get truth in any other spirit, in all the spirits that are out there, and there's multitudes of them, except the Holy Spirit. You'll not find truth in any other God except the true living God, which is the only God, except truth. You'll not find at all that God has not placed anywhere, anytime, to the government, His truth. You'll not find that He put it into the institutions of education, truth. You'll not find anywhere that He has put truth in any other religion, in any other place, in any other thing, except one tonight, and that is the living organism called the church. The church is the ground and pillar of truth. If you don't have the church, you don't have truth. If you don't go through the church, you don't have truth. If the church is not part of your life and the church is not in your life, you won't have truth. You cannot take away truth from the ground and the pillar of truth. You can't tonight. As much Googling you want to do, as much internet you want to partake in, as much phone work you want to do, as much as education, you get as many degrees as you want to and still have no temperature. tonight. You can do all these things, and it's very simple tonight that the church of the living God is the pillar and the ground of truth. That makes us radical. We're just radical. And we're not apologizing for it. And we're not ashamed of it. And we're not trying to hide it. And we're not so much worried about who knows it. Tonight, can I say, in order for 2021 that missions be essential, we got to know tonight that not only the church is real, but the church is radical. Number one, because God is the God of truth. Psalms chapter 31 and verse 15 tells us that tonight. I'll turn there for you. Psalms 31, and there in that verse 5, it gives us clear understanding and clear scripture tonight concerning our Lord, our God. In Psalms 31 and verse 5, it says this tonight. It says, "In thy hand I commit my spirit. Thou hast redeemed me, O Lord God of truth." So tonight, the existence of truth is in God. And because it belongs to Him tonight. The church that belongs to God in existence of truth tonight is because He's the God of truth. Listen, the church wouldn't be the pillar and ground of truth if it wasn't God's. Because it is God's, He's the God of truth. I mean, that just makes sense. That's ABC elementary stuff right there. And so tonight, we, the church, the church of the living God, we are to the place where the truth tonight is the existence of truth is because of God of truth. I know it's not only God of truth, but we find that Jesus is Jesus the truth, because John, the Bible says in John 14:6, "I am the way and I am the truth." And so if Jesus built the church and He's the truth, guess what He built? He built the pillar and the ground of truth. We know, thirdly, that the Spirit of God that the church is based upon, He is the Spirit of truth. John 14 and verse 17, it tells us that the Spirit of God is not the Spirit of Christ, but He's also the Spirit of truth. And just so that you can know that the church is based upon the Spirit of truth, in verse 17 it says, "Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth Him not, neither knoweth Him, but ye know Him, and He dwelleth with you, and you shall be in Him." And so the very church that you and I are talking about tonight is the church that's real but radical, and because the existence of truth is in the church, because it's God of truth who belongs to it. It is Jesus Christ, the Jesus of truth tonight, who built it, and it is the one that's based upon the Holy Ghost of God. It's called the Spirit of truth. And then the very bounding of the Word of God that the church is bound by, guess what that's called? The Word of truth. We find that there in 2 Timothy and verse 2 and verse 15. The Bible tells us tonight that He's the Word of truth. And so tonight it's very clear, very understanding, that it is the church of truth. That's what we're called, the church of truth. And friend, tonight we are radical with that, because there's no truth in any other thing. There's no truth in any other religion. There's no other truth in any other mosque, in any other temple, in any other tabernacle, in any other synagogue, and any other tonight that you can bring up, cause up, give up tonight. It's only in the church, because the church is built by the Jesus who is the truth, owned by God the truth, based upon the Spirit of truth, and bound by the Word of truth. So we find it very clear tonight, no complications and no confusion. All others tonight, now listen to me, because this might be offensive to many, all others tonight outside the church is false. Everything else tonight outside the church is untrue. You can't find two truths. There's only one God. There's only one Lord. There's only one Spirit. There's only one Word. Tonight, you can't find it anywhere else. If you're looking for truth tonight, in some other place, in some other people, in some other church, or some other this or that and the other tonight, you're only going to find it in the church of the living God called the house of God. That's where truth is. We're radical tonight. We're not compromising on that. We're not saying there's two truths out there. We're saying there's one truth. We're saying tonight that truth only comes from the church. The church is the only place where truth will come from. The church is the only place that God has put His truth in. The church is the only place that God has chosen through the Holy Ghost of God, through Jesus who builds it, and the Word of God that's bound it tonight, is where truth is going to be presented and given to the world. It's the church. The church. So tonight, I got a big heart for the church. I hope you do too. So we see it is the existence of truth. Can I say number two tonight? That the church is radical, not only because of the existence of truth, but the church is radical because of the extension of truth. The Bible says there in that chapter 3, verse 15, it says, the pillar of the truth. The pillar and ground of truth, but we're talking about the pillar at first. Let's talk about the pillar for a moment. So what's the pillar? That word pillar there, it means to hold up. It means that this pillar tonight is going to hold up what's above it. This pillar here is going to hold up about what's the top of it, what's the authority of it. It has a purpose tonight, this pillar does, and this pillar, and we're just going to use those two words, hold up. Hold up. Just kind of make it simple tonight. I'm a kind of simple guy. And so, hold up. So what is a pillar? It holds up. So what does the church do? The church holds up God. That's what it does. It holds up God. And so we find that there's only one God. And so there's not many gods tonight. And so we, the church, holds up that one God. The Bible calls Him the church of the living God, right? And we hold up tonight not only the one God, but there's only one living God. That's who we hold up. The one living God. But there's not only that, but there's one living holy God. And that's who we hold up tonight, the one living holy God. But we're not done yet. There's only one true, holy, living God, and that's what the church holds up tonight. Tonight He is the God of Abraham, and the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. He is the creator of the world. He's the Heavenly Father. He's the Savior. He's the Judge. He's eternal tonight. That's the God tonight that the church holds up. And we're the pillar of the truth tonight. Oh, because God is truth. Christ is truth. Holy Ghost is truth. The Word of God is truth. And we're the pillar of it tonight. We're radical. Woo! It makes me want to shout. Tonight we're the pillar. We're the pillar of the church tonight. We hold up God. Tonight, can I tell you somebody else that we hold up? We hold up Jesus. We're the pillar of the church, the one who built the church. The one tonight who said, I will build my church. We hold Him up. We're the pillar of the church. We hold up Jesus. So who's Jesus? Well, we hold Him up as God. Amen? We hold Him up as God. We hold Him up as Lord. We hold Him up as Savior. We hold Him up as Redeemer, as Messiah, as Mediator, as Captain of our salvation, as the Bishop of our souls, of the Chief Shepherd, the Great Shepherd, the Shepherd, as the King, as the Advocate, as the Sinless, as the Lamb, as the Lion of Judah, as the Heavenly Father, as the High Priest, of the Great Prophet, as the Propitiation, as a Friend, as the Son of God, as the Son of Man, as the Word, as Emmanuel, as the light, as the bread, as an apostle, as an amen, as the author and finisher of our faith, as the bridegroom, as the creator, as the eternal life, as the faithful, as true, as holy, as an heir, as a head, as a rock, as a way, as a life, as wisdom, as vine, as righteousness, as resurrection, as deliverer, as holiness, as offspring of David, as the morning star, as I am, as a hope, and as the blessed hope tonight. That's our Lord tonight that we hold up tonight as the pillar of truth tonight. The church is radical. I could give you 20 more. Do you believe it? Oh man, I believe it. I'm so much in believing of it, I'm in love with it. I mean, tell you right now, I'm just going to die with it. I tell you tonight, I've been giving my life so much to the Lord and my heart to the church tonight that I believe it's so within me and without through me tonight that it will not change in my heart, in my life. Friend, tonight, God help us that we never go back to knowing that we are the pillar of the truth. Can I say here, the third that we hold up, not only God, who the church belongs to, by the way, and not only Christ who built the church, but the Holy Ghost of God. That is tonight the church is based upon. We hold Him up because He's God. He's held up because He's eternal. Because He's omnipresent. Because He's omniscient. Because He's sovereign. Because He's the author. Because He's the comforter. Because He's a person. Because He speaks. Because He witnesses. Because He grieves. Because He loves, because He thanks, because He teaches us. He can be resisted because of His will, because He glorifies Jesus, because He reveals Jesus, because He confirms us like Jesus. He calls, He empowers, He prays, He works, He revives, He presents. Oh, can I say to you tonight, that's who we hold up tonight, the Holy Ghost of God, the Spirit of truth. Amen. I'm just telling you right now, I done gave you about 100 names. If you believe that, you're radical. If you just believe whatever I just said right now, if we stop the message now and say, okay, if you believe all of those things I said about God, about the Spirit, and about Christ tonight, you are some radical. There's not very many people like you tonight. And those people who are radical, they believe in the church is real, and they'll be involved in missions. I guarantee you. Amen? And I don't even work for that place who sells jackets and sells suits, Man's Warehouse. He says, I guarantee you. Can I say fourthly tonight, we're the pillar of truth tonight. It holds up not only God and Christ and the Holy Spirit, but we're the church that holds up the Word of God. The Word of truth tonight. It's inspired. It's preserved. It's published. It's settled in heaven. It's perfect. It's pure. It's forever. It's powerful. It cuts. It hammers. It provides faith. It gives direction. It leads to eternal life. It's never wrong. It's the answer. It's convicting. It's true. It's a fire. It's living, it's spiritual, it rebukes, it reproves, it corrects, it sanctifies, it's active, it's authoritative, it's sweet. That's my Bible tonight, amen? And boy, I tell you, as we are tonight, people of the church tonight is the one who is the pillar of the truth tonight. And that word pillar means hold up. And to me and I tonight, every day of our lives as we go home, and as we go to church, and as we go to work, and as we go into the markets, and as we go to this place and that place, you can just look at yourself tonight and say, you know what I am? I'm just a pillar. I'm the pillar of truth. What are you going to hold up? I'm going to hold up God. I'm going to hold up Jesus. I'm going to hold up the Holy Ghost of God, and I'm going to hold up the Word of God. That'll give you a sense of purpose, won't it? I mean, that'll give you a reason to live. That'll make you want to live to be 200 tonight. That'll make you live, friend, more than you want to live tonight. You won't think about suicide. You'll not think about beer and wine. You'll not think about drugs. You'll not think about tonight to get your mind wasted off of somewhere else tonight. You'll not think about not coming to the house of God. When you got this in your mind, I am radical. Because the church is radical. And I'm part of the church. Church is real. And I like to be around something that's real, don't you? I can't hardly stand fake. I can't hardly be around people who are just paper mache. I can't stand cookie cutouts tonight. Halloween's just one time a year. Most of the time people's got a mask on and they're running around here thinking they're somebody and they're really not. I like things are real tonight. I even like that real whipped cream. I'm talking about that whipped cream that's real. Oh, that's a heavy. You know what I'm talking about. Heavy whipped cream. Brother Charles, you know about that heavy whipped cream? You ought to get some of that, man. That's good. I tell you what I did the other day. I got me some kiwi, and I got me some blueberries, and I've got me some strawberries, and I cut them dude up just like that. I got me some real whipping cream. And, man, it's an aerosol can. You just push that little deal like that, and that thing just comes flooding out. I get me a bowl like that, and it's just high. And Debbie said, that's too much whipping cream. I said, too bad. Man, we got off into that thing. It don't have no sugar. It's sugar-free. Man, it's fat-free. It's everything. I just want to go. I'm talking about real tonight. Sorry, I lost my mind for a minute. That's what happened to people who are radical. They do stuff like that. Oh, Lord. The church is radical tonight. For she is the pillar of truth. And she holds up the whole truth. You'll not find anywhere in this world where truth will be held up but the church. Now you can talk about the church tonight. You can say that we're hypocrites. You can say that we have problems. You can say that we have difficulties. You can say the church is a lot of things tonight. But there's one thing I can tell you the church is. It is the pillar of truth. Amen? I can't help it that the church is made up of people who are just flawed. I can't help it tonight. The church is just made up of people who are just real sinners and became real saints. I can't help it tonight that people who are the church tonight that was a real royal mess whenever they got saved is now still a real royal mess being saved. I can't help it tonight that you and I tonight are still crooked in a lot of ways and we still got a lot of places in our lives we need to correct and we still got a lot of things that we need to get right in our hearts tonight, but the God has chosen that the church tonight be the pillar of truth, and I didn't make that decision. He made that decision, and I say hallelujah, glory to God, amen for it. Only God can use such a fallacy as me. And so we find tonight not only the very extension of truth, which is the pillar, the very essence of truth tonight, we find there in verse 15 in our text, the Bible says, it's the ground of truth. So not only the church tonight is the pillar of truth, which means the extension of truth, but tonight it's the very essence of truth, the ground, the groundwork, the foundation. You can't get no more essence than foundation. The church is tonight the very basis of the truth tonight. To get truth, you must go through the church because it is the very ground. It's the very foundation. To know truth tonight, you must come through the church. You're not going to get truth on Google. You're not going to get truth on the internet. And so many people, somebody asked me some time ago, said, why is there so much confusion about the Word of God and about what true is and what not this and that and the other? I tell you why, because many people get on Google. And Google has all this information. They have all these people who know nothing, who's not of the church, that has no idea. Their father's the devil. They're as dumb as a rock. And they ain't got no clue about what's really going on in the things of God. And they're giving their opinion, and they're saying it in such a way because they're sharks and they're shams that you begin to believe what they're saying. There might be some people in this room here has listened with the Google trying to figure out what God has to say. Why are you in Google trying to figure out what God has said? That don't make no sense to me. I'm going to go to Google and see what Jesus did. I'm going to go to Google and find out what's coming in the future. And I say to you, friend, it's done muddied the waters. And tonight we find that there's no truth outside of the church tonight. It is the ground. You can't get no lower. It's the ground. You can't get no foundation than the ground. You can't get no place else. For, you can't even go to the seminary, which is called the cemetery most of the time, because most dead people are there. You'll find that you can't even go tonight to theologians, and you can't even go to people tonight who've been in church a long time. You've got to go to the church, because it's the ground of truth. We find tonight, to experience truth, you must go to the church. To the truth, to be truth tonight, you must go to the church. Now, what does unbelievers do with truth? People who want to sidestep the church. People who want to just kind of ignore the church. People who just want to attend the church whenever they want to attend the church. People who just want to take the church and just use it for their use. I got people all the time calling me, "Hey, will you marry me?" "No, but call me when you die, I'll bury you." "No, this place ain't a place. This ain't a chapel where you marry people." Now, if you want to marry Jesus, like Romans chapter 7 speaks of, well, then I'm okay with that. We'll come on and have a wedding down here. We'll have a ceremony. Come on down here and get married to Jesus. You become a groom, he's the bride, right? We like that. We can handle that kind of stuff. But when you want to bring some old ugly boy in here and you want to marry this old girl here and you want me to do the marrying in the house of God tonight, that's not going to happen here. We ain't never done that before. A lot of people want to come here. They want me to pay their rent. They want me to pay for their car. They want me to pay for their their food. They want me to pay for their lights. They want me to do a lot of things. And I asked them, I said, "I tell you what, I can do all those things, but let me call your pastor and just ask him what he's going to do for you." And they say, "Well, you know, blah, blah, blah. What's your pastor's name?" "You know, well, I ain't been here so long, I already know his name." I said, "Then you call me. And you want me to give God's money to you, whom I don't even know, and you're just giving me a good story, how much you need this money, and you need $150, or your life's going to be turned out, or you can't pay your hotel rent, you're going to be kicked out, and you ain't got nowhere to go. But you tell me, I ask you the first, my question is to you, are you a Christian?" And 100% I'm going to say yes all the time. "Well, then tell me your pastor's name." I said, "Well, then we can't help you either if you can't even tell me your pastor's name. Because I want to go call your pastor and ask him why your pastor hasn't helped you out here in Stafford, Texas. Because if somebody in this church gets stranded out there somewhere, you better believe it. You have my phone number. You can call me anytime. I'll come pick you up myself. We're not going to let no member of this church be stranded anywhere. Hey, man, if I got to go make a loan. We're going to take care of our own tonight," the Bible says, especially the household of faith. So anyway, I don't know how I got off on that. Y'all didn't provoke me to go that direction. Well, tonight, the truth must go to the church. And so, let me just give you this tonight. The unbelievers. I'm talking about what they do with truth. You want to kind of tell me tonight whether you're a believer or unbeliever of the church? This is kind of going to be the telltale. The Bible says in Galatians 3, verse 1, that unbelievers obey not the truth. They obey not the truth. God is truth. They obey not the truth. Jesus is truth. They obey not the truth. The Spirit is truth. The Word is truth. They don't obey it. They just don't obey it. Well, you're an unbeliever. Number two is what unbelievers do is they receive not the love of the truth. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 10. There's the love of the truth. Not only that you disobey the truth, but you don't receive the love of the truth. You have no compassion for truth. You have no hunger and thirst for truth. You don't care whether truth comes or truth goes. You have no desire, no pleasure. You have no craving. You have no appetite for truth. You won't receive the love of the truth. The Bible says you're not saved. The Bible teaches 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 12, who received not the truth. They just won't receive it. 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 5 says that unbelievers are destitute of the truth. They're out there, they're alone, they're without it, they can't get it. They don't want it. The Bible says in 2 Timothy 2:18 about the truth, it says concerning the truth, have erred. They don't care if they do wrong. They don't care if they go against the truth. They don't care if the Word of God is preached. And they don't care if mom and daddy teaches it. They don't care if anybody tells them of it. They're going to go against it no matter what. You're just an unbeliever. An unbeliever with this truth tonight is never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. 2 Timothy 3:7. 2 Timothy 3:8, they resist the truth. Hey, it's one thing not to believe the truth. It's another thing not to receive the truth. But it's another thing to resist it. To resist it. Like somebody tells you what you ought to do, and it's truth, and you say, I resist that. I'm not going to do that. Bible says in 2 Timothy 4:4, they turn away their ears from the truth. Like some people when I preach, they just look down, they look off, they're in some other outer space, they're in Jupiter or Saturn. They're out somewhere, they're thinking about their boyfriend, their girlfriend, thinking about whatever they're going to do at the house, whatever they're going to do in a minute, whatever's going to go on. They're thinking about all kinds of things. They're just not thinking about what I'm preaching, not thinking about what I'm saying, because you know what they're doing with the truth? They're just sitting there. They're here physically, but they're not here spiritually. They're not here emotionally. They're not here intellectually. They're just turn away their ears from the truth. You're lost tonight. You're just lost. I don't care what you say. I don't care how many times you've been baptized. You can get baptized so many times you look like a tadpole. And you can make professions of faith all day long till your nose turns green. Listen, friend, it all is about what you do with truth. We find that they turn from truth in Titus chapter 1, verse 14. James chapter 3, verse 14. They lie against the truth. And then 2 Peter 2:2 says, the way of the truth is evil spoken of. So not only do they reject it, not only do they resist it, not only do they not receive it, but they speak evil of it. That old preacher up there, man, he needs to shut up and be quiet. Them people down there at that Glory Baptist Church, they think they know everything. They think they got everything right. They think that they're living this with the ducks in a row. They're a bunch of legalists. A cultist church down there. They believe that you got to repent and receive Christ Jesus as your Lord and Savior, or you're going to go to the pits of hell. Them people got problems down there. They need psychiatrists and psychologists. John, 1 John 2:21, you know not the truth. You know not the truth. How about the church tonight about truth? Well, 2 John 4 says that thy children walk in truth. See, tonight it's all about truth, whether you're lost or you're saved. Whether about you believe the church is real or you believe the church is tonight is radical, is about how you walk. The Bible says the children of God walk in truth. John 3:3, 3 John verse 3, testified of the truth that it is in truth. These people are in truth. They're not only walking in truth, but they're in truth. John 3:8, fellow helpers to the truth. Not only do you walk in truth and you're in truth, but you are helping truth. You're all about truth. The Bible says in 2 John 12, Demetrius had good report of all men and of the truth itself. 1 John 3:19 says, we know we are of the truth. 2 Peter 1:12 says, established in the present truth. No other ground stands like this ground. All others tonight are on sinking ground except the ground of truth. And tonight the Bible says, that the church, that is real, that is radical. And the reason why it's radical tonight is because you and I hold up and we are the foundation of the truth. You can't go around us. You can't go under us. You can't go above us. You're going to have to come through us. If this world is ever going to know truth, and let me tell you about truth, and the truth shall set you free. If you're ever going to get free from drugs, you've got to come through the church. if you're going to get free from pornography, if you're going to get free from unforgiveness, you're going to get free from bitterness, you're going to get free from alcoholism, you're going to get free from sin, iniquity, depravity, transgression, and on and on and on and on, even homosexuality or abortion tonight. If you're going to get free from any of that tonight that God would call sin and abomination, you have to come through the church. It's the ground and the pillar of the truth. Is that not true tonight? Is that what not God's Word says? That's true tonight. Man, I'm 15 minutes early. Let's move on to the next point. Some of y'all put y'all's Bible up, get it back out. I'm just excited about this tonight. Not is the church tonight real and the church is radical, but the church tonight is a residence. Look what it says in verse 15. It says, the house of God. Now, what are the occupants of this house? Well, evidently, it's the Father, right? Jesus said in John 14, in my Father's house are many mansions. So tonight we know that this house of God is the occupant of that house is the Father. But also we know that in the house of God is the occupant of the Son. God's Son is there. We know that. But we also know that not only is it God's Son there, but we know the occupants of this house is God's children. Right? The house of God. I mean, this makes sense tonight that in the house of God is God, is the Son of the only begotten Son of God, but then it is the children. And I looked up some of the children. I didn't know all this tonight. I learned some of this, but let me just give it to you real quickly. I'm not going to stay long on it, but the children. Who are the children? Well, Matthew chapter 5, verse 9, the church is called the children of God. And in Matthew 13, 38, it's called the children of the kingdom. And in Mark chapter 2, verse 19, it's called the children of the bride chamber. And in Luke 6, 35, it's called the children of the highest. In Luke 16, 8, it's called the children of light. In Luke 20, 36, it's called the children of resurrection. In Romans 9, 26, it's called the children of the living God. Galatians 4, 19, he refers to us as little children. And Ephesians 5, 1 calls us dear children. 1 Thessalonians 5, 5 calls us the children of the day. 1 Peter 1, 14 calls us obedient children. And Galatians 6, 10 calls us the household of faith. And Ephesians 2, 19 says we're the household of God. So when it talks about the house, that the house of God, he's talking about the occupants, God, his Son, and his children. In other words, tonight we're unified in the house of God. Right? And if we're unified in the house of God, and then we're in harmony in the house of God. It doesn't matter what color we are. It doesn't matter what education we have. It doesn't matter what gender you are. It doesn't matter tonight what your size or your height. It doesn't matter the color of your eyes or the color of your hair. It doesn't matter tonight in all of the extras and all of the very physical parts of anything and everything tonight. All that it matters is that you're a child. And you have about 12 things that you can be a child of. So tonight, that's the household of God. It's a residence. So in other words, tonight, the house of God, which is the church of the living God, right? We, as the church tonight, is a household. And in the household, in other words, we're just a residence. And we're a residence where all these God, Son, children dwell. Number two, not only do I notice in the house of God, there's occupants, but in the house of God, there's order. The Bible says in verse 15, it says, but if I tarry long, that thou mayest know how thou oughtest behave thyself in the house of God. So there's an order to the house of God. Right? That's what it's saying. In the house of God, there's one who's the head. The Bible says in Colossians chapter 1, verse 18, Jesus Christ is the head. In Hebrew, 1 Peter chapter 5, and verse 1, the Bible says that there's an overseer in the house of God, and that overseer is the pastor. The Bible says in 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 1, the elders which are among you I exhort, who am also an elder, a witness unto the sufferings of Christ, also a partaker of the glory that shall be revealed. Feed the flock of God, which is among you, taking the oversight thereof, not by constraint, but willingly, not for filthy lucre, but for a ready mind, neither as being lords over God's heritage, but being examples to the flock. And so we have order. Jesus Christ is the head of the church. The pastor is the overseer of the church. You can call him the elder. You can call him the bishop. You can call him the pastor, however you want to call him. But the bottom line is, it's an overseer. Hebrews chapter 13, the Bible gives us clear understanding concerning this, about the one who is the overseer. He says in verse 7, remember them which have the rule over you. In verse 17 it says, obey them that have the rule over you. Submit yourselves, for they watch for your souls, as they must give an account, that they may do it with joy, not with grief, for that is unprofitable for you. Verse 24, salute all them that have the rule over you, and all the saints. And so we find in the house of God there's order. Jesus being the head, the pastor being the overseer. We find also, thirdly, that there's an authority in the house of God. The authority in the house of God is the Word of God. It is the sole authority. It is the only authority. You have no authority. I have no authority. The Word of God is the authority. And we both must come to an agreement on the Word of God. It's not that what you might think the Word of God says, or what I might think the Word of God says. There's no private interpretation of the Word of God. It is what the Word of God says. And friend, we're going to find line upon line, principle upon principle. We're going to find that we're going to take the Word of God, and we're going to look into it. We're going to study it. We're going to examine it. We're going to do as God would have us to do, and that is to look into it and to read it and to pray over it, and we're going to get an answer from the Word of God. Amen? It is the authority. That's the problem in many churches tonight. There's many authorities. In this church, in the church of the living God, there's one authority, the Word of God. It's called the Word of Truth. And the reason why tonight we find that is because it started there in Acts chapter 2, verse 42. He calls the apostle doctrine. That's where we started out of. And then it went down to the Word of God in Acts chapter 6, verse 7. Then it is called the Holy Scriptures in 1 Timothy 3, verse 15 and 16. Matter of fact, it says it's all Scripture tonight. It's inspired of God. It's profitable for doctrine, profitable for reproof, profitable for correction, instruction in righteousness. And 1 Timothy 4, 2 says that the Word of God is to reprove, to rebuke, to exhort with longsuffering and doctrine. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 19 to 21 says he has a more sure word of prophecy. We find that there's an authority in the house of God. Amen? We're talking about being radical. This is what makes us radical, right? That Jesus is head, pastor's overseer, and the Word of God is the authority. You can't trump the authority. You can't go against it. If you have a complaint, have a scripture in verse. If you got a suggestion, have a scripture in verse. If you have something to add, have a scripture in verse. A friend, if we're doing something wrong tonight, it must be what the Scripture says that we're doing wrong, not what you're saying we're doing wrong. If I say that something's going wrong in you, well, then I have to bring the Word of God in order to make that case, to make that prove to you, to prove to me that what we're doing has to line up to the Word of God. Amen. That makes it real easy in the house of God. Nobody's the authority. God's Word is. Can I say here, fourthly, is there's a code of conduct. The Bible says, behave thyself in the house of God. That's a code of conduct. And so tonight we find that in our scripture in 1 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 16, the Bible says, oughtest behave thyself in the house of God. And so tonight, let me just say this. I know I got like 7 minutes. In the code of conduct in the house of God that belongs to God, Jesus resides there. Because he's God, and the children reside there as well. Your behavior is different in the house of God than it is in your house. You can act any kind of way in your house, but you don't act that way here. This is the house of God. In the house of God, you don't act the same way as you do in your house. Matter of fact, when you go visit somebody's house, you don't act the same way in your house as you do in their house. You would act a little different. Right? Many times in our own house, we kind of act crazy. We kind of act goofy. We kind of act out of control. We kind of act all kind of ways. But friend, listen, if you act the same way in your house as you do in your church, something's bad wrong with your behavior. Amen? This is the house of God. The code of conduct. There's a behavior that must be held. It must be told. It must be given. So we find the behavior is different than in your house. Number two, the behavior is disciplined in this house. In other words, when you walk in that door, you're walking into the house of God, and you must have a disciplined behavior. Discipline. You say, where do you get that from? Well, I get it from 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 40. You can turn there if you want to. 1 Corinthians chapter 14 and verse 40. Chapter 4, 1 Corinthians chapter 14 and verse 40. The Bible says, let all things be done decently and in order. Decently and in order. That word decently there, it means tonight, it means honorably. So when you come into the house of God, you come into the house of God honorably. Don't walk into this house dishonorably. You come into the house of God in honor. That means tonight that you're going to come in with a discipline. I may act different at my house. I might act different at grandma's house. I might act different at pawpaw's house. I might act different at my friend's house. But when I come to the house of God, it's a total different behavior. It's a disciplined behavior. And so it's an honorable. That word decently means honorably. And so it must be honorably in your dress. We don't come to church to look at women's figures. We don't come to church to see all of the shapes and of people's bodies. We don't care to see anything that you own or that you have. We come to worship. Friend, if we wanted to see that, we'll come to your house. But we are at the house of God. And so even your dress must be dressed honorably. So whatever you wear it honorably. Amen. Is that not the way we ought to do it? Dress honorably. You say, well, brother, I just have a certain amount of clothes. Hey, listen, friend, if they're honorably, come on. We're not interested in you wearing short shorts and halter tops and coming in here with shorts and coming in here with tight shirts and showing off all your muscles that look like a toothpick with a bump on it. And, you know, we're not interested in seeing all your moles and warts and everything else that you might have. I don't care. Cover it up. Use a sheet. Use a bedspread. I don't care what you do. Just come in honorably. I knew at this point it's going to get quiet. Hey, honorably tonight, I'm talking about how you behave yourself. Dress has a lot to do with it. But can I say secondly, your conversation. Your conversation. Come in here honorably. This is the house of God. You can't talk like you talk at your house. Not in this house. You got to get disciplined. I mean, you just can't talk about dirty jokes. You can't talk about women. You can't talk about men. You can't talk about sexual things here. You can't talk about things that are going to bring embarrassment or going to bring something upon women or upon men tonight. Listen, when you come to the house of God, you better come in a disciplined way, honorable way, and with your conversation must be tonight a conversation that brings honor to God. If you can't do that, don't say nothing. And so if you find somebody in our church tonight just sits there and won't say nothing, you just know that they can't talk. They don't know how to behave in the house of God. Leave them alone. Just pray for them. Don't try to make them talk because then you're going to hear some conversation you probably don't want to hear. Like maybe somebody talking about somebody. Like backstabbing. Or like gossiping. You know, people like doing that all the time. Especially on Facebook. I'm just convinced in all my heart tonight that if you're a Christian and you got Facebook, And all you worried about is what everybody else is doing? You know what the Bible calls you? A busybody. That's sin. You need to get right with God. Shut down your Facebook if you can't do no better than that. You're just worried about what everybody else is doing. All you're trying to figure out where they're at, what they're doing, who they're. Come on, man. Don't you have more of a life than that? You worried about your next door neighbor, about your family. You worried about your friend. You worried about your coworker. Man, you stop worrying about them. Worry about you. Figure out where your children are. Figure out where your husband is at and where your wife is at. You over there trying to do all that, man. I tell you what, I got off three times tonight. Can I say honorably with your actions? Be disciplined with your actions. You can't come in here at this house of God and just act any kind of way you want to. You don't come in here with an attitude. You don't come in here with bitterness. You don't come in here with a hatred. You don't come in here with being biased and racist. You don't come in here tonight creating havoc and creating trouble and just stirring up things tonight. Listen, if you're going to do all that, just stay home. Tell your people at your house to come here. Leave you by yourself. Much, much peacefuler at the house of God than it will be in your house because you're in the house. Amen? I'm talking about behavior. I'm talking about being radical. Right? I mean, you go to churches now, man, listen, it's all open. Come as you are, naked and all. Come in here, tell a dirty joke. Come in here and be racist. Come in here and be against women. Come in here and say that you're for this and you're for that. Hey, man, you can say what you want. You can do what you want. Hey, listen, that's not here in this house. This house is going to have to be done decently. The word decently means restrained, proper, well-performed or well-formed. It means noble. It means purposeful. Come to the house of God and be disciplined. Secondly, I got to say this. The Bible says, let all things be done decently, that's honorably, and in order. Orderly. That means tonight, regular arrangements. A lot of people get all over church because they say, when you get up there, you sing, you, Brother Larry, I just know what's going to happen here. Let's just take Wednesday night, for example. This is what's going to happen. Brother Larry's going to get up and say, I'm so glad everybody's here. All five. Sometimes 12. I'm glad you're here in the house of God. It don't matter who's here. It just matters that God's here. Right? I mean, that's what you're saying Brother Larry's going to say. And he usually does say that. So I go through the introduction. I pray. Brother George comes up. He leads three songs. I come up, and I get people to come, and four people will come and read the scriptures, whatever chapter it is for the night. And then after they read that, I'll read my scripture. I'll preach for 15, 20, 30, 40, 50 minutes, sometimes 55. And then we all come to the altar, and we all pray, and we get out of here, I don't know, maybe an hour and a half or something like that. We just know. But the Bible tells us to do all things decently and in order. And that word order means orderly arrangements. We do the same thing Sunday morning. We do the same thing Sunday night. Is it because we're boring? Is it because we're just dumb? We don't know what else to do? Is it just like we just don't have no other agenda? We have no other schedule? No. It's done on purpose. Orderly arrangement. Fixed succession. Official dignity, to arrange in an orderly manner. Behavior is done in the house of God. We can't talk about it. We got to do it. And so we find the behavior in the house of God. The Bible says there, let all things be done. The word done means cause to be. It means to become and it means to require. And let me just give this to you. What are we to do in the house of God? Obey the authority. Obey the authority. Brother George, he says, open up to a book, you open to the book. Open up to the page. He said, we're going to sing all three stanzas. Guess what we do? We just sing all three stanzas. if the pastor gets up and says, turn to 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 15, and stand up and let's read, you open your Bible and turn to that passage. This is what's done in the house of God, because it's the house of God. Obey the authority. Respect one another. Respect others the way they are. Not everybody's like you. And thank God not everybody's like you. Can you imagine we had like 100 of you? I mean, I think I would just move or leave or do something different. So thank God everybody has a different DNA, right? Everybody's different, but we have to respect one another. We have to be reverence in God's house. We don't run in God's house. I would rather you run to it, but don't run in it. So if you see anybody running in the house of God, quietly, politely, with respect, say, please, we don't run in the house of God. This is God's house. We don't go under the pews. We don't play hide and go seek. Right? That's what we don't do. I'll tell you something else that we don't do, is that we don't eat and drink in the house of God. We don't have Snickers and Milky Way, and we don't have Dr. Pepper and Coke and Diet Coke. And I never understood that. People eat Snickers with a Diet Coke. But we don't do all that. We don't take our shirts or our wrappers for our mints and stuff them behind the songbooks or stuff them down at the bottom of it. If you ever clean the church, you'll notice that there's a lot of stuff going on. Right? We don't do that. This is the house of God. We've got to have reverence for the house of God. So we don't run. I'll tell you something else we don't do. We don't take the tithe envelopes and use it for a scribbling. Them tithe envelopes don't belong to you. They belong to God. You don't get to pick up the tithe envelope and write a note on it and pass it to the guy next to you. Where do you get that from? Who told you to do that? Who gave you the authority to steal from God and steal one of his tithe envelopes and use it for not the use it was made for? You want to be a thief? You want to be somebody who just be disrespectful to God? Then use what God's for, not the use for it was bought for. Amen? Be respectful. Come to the house of God. Turn your phone off. Put it up. Do something with it. But don't look at it. Don't watch it. This ain't a place where you play games. This ain't a place you text. This ain't a place where you look up the internet. This ain't a place. Bring your Bible. If you don't have a Bible, all you have is a phone. Well, I tell you what, I'll buy you a Bible. I'll buy you whatever Bible you want. King James Bible, it's going to have to be. But I can get you a Thompson chain. I can get you a Lester Roloff. I can get you I can't think of the guy's name now. Oh, Schofield. I mean, I can get you any Bible you want to, and I'll pay as much as you want me to pay. You want big print, large print? You want it this big? You want it that big? It don't matter to me. If you want green, red, orange, whatever color you want, just don't bring your phone. And when I'm talking, I'm preaching, you're not talking and you're not preaching. If there's anything that has to be said, I'll be saying it. If there's anything that you have to say, you'll be telling me after. You can't go no more ruder than that whenever somebody's talking and you're talking. Because when I'm talking and I'm preaching the Word of God, God's talking. And friend, you don't want to be rude to Him. And so tonight, there's just things in the house of God that we do. We don't mark on the pews. We don't write on the doors in the bathrooms. Like, I love you. Huh? We don't mark on the pews. We don't tear up the things of God. The grounds you see out there, the places that you see here, all belongs to the Lord. If you see trash outside, pick it up. Listen, friend, this is our church. This is why we're radical. This is why tonight we believe what we believe. The building and the grounds of the Lord's. Enjoy it and reverence it. We stand in awe in the house of God. When we're praying, we don't need nobody moving. When we're preaching, we don't need nobody doing anything but listening. Tonight, when we're singing, we need everybody involved, engaged. When we're teaching the Word of God, we need everybody there. No moving around, no getting up, no going to the restroom, no passing notes, no looking at phones. You're listening, you're learning, you're growing, you're changing, you're worshiping. The only true living God in the only true living God's house with the only true living household to worship the only true living God. Let me say that again, and I'll close with that. You're in the house of God, which is the only true living God, in the only true living God's house, with the only true living God's household, to the worship the only true living God. We're radical. Let's stand to our feet, our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed. We're called the church tonight. The church is real. The church is radical. The church is a residence. My heart says we will participate, we will contribute, we will share in its purpose, in its plans, in its place in our lives. Missions. Missions will be accomplished whenever we believe the church is real, the church is radical, and the church is a residence. That's when the church will blossom. The church will break out. You sing, Brother George. If you need to come tonight, you come. Thank you, my Lord. I'm glad I'm part of the church tonight. I'm glad I'm in the church. I'm glad tonight. God's so good. God's so loving. He's so caring. He's so wonderful. Thank you, my Lord. Hallelujah.